Today's Mishnah and Masechet Peah, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh and the Aliyas Nishmat Baba, is Perek Beit, Mishnah Zayin. Sadeh Shekitzarua Kutim. We've been talking about what would be the hefsek in a field. But there are also, remember, a completely different issue in which certain things may take off the entire chiyuv of the peah. How could that be? Don't we have an actual mitzvah asay that's attached to the lo tiktzar, and then it goes and it says in the Torah, le'aniv ve'lager ta'azov. And we learn from there that if, in fact, you were kotzer, the entire field, and you were over on the iser of the lo tiktzar, of the pa'at sadecha, you don't get malchus for doing that. You have a mitzvah saseh to then leave it post-ktzira. And we said post-ktzira could mean even after you process the grain and whatever, you leave it for the aniyim. And that's a mitzvah saseh. So you would think that once the ketzira was done, even if it were done improperly in a way that isn't mechayev you, you still are going to be left with the chiyav of le'aniv ve'lager. But that would be a mistake. The mitzvah asay of le'aniv ve'lager is only there as a tikkun for the lo tiktzar on the general issue of the pa'at sadecha. But if the ketzira itself were done in a way that wouldn't have been mechayev peah, then there's no kick in of this mitzvah saseh that says you still have to leave it to la'ani ve'lager. So if the actual ketzira was done in a way that wasn't chayev, it never becomes chayev again afterwards. And therefore, if there was no initial chayev of peah, it doesn't come back on. And therefore, in a case where the soda was kitzarua kutim, so remember, it's bekutzer chem et kitzir arzachem. That does not apply to goya. So let's say somebody is not muted here. So let's say when it says kutim, by the way, it doesn't mean kutim. It means akum. The kutim, of course, gets involved in the whole machlokas about the dinim of the kutim. But in any event, it's always useful, unfortunately, when they were printing the Mishnayos to put in kutim instead of akum, because that way the censor didn't trigger the AI, all of those goyim are the AIs, didn't trigger the AI if it said kutim, but the moment it said anything about goyim or akum or so on, then you got yourself into trouble. Okay, so they use the word kutim, but we understand what it means. So a non-Jew basically goes in to a Yisrael's field, not as a worker for that Yisrael. If he's a worker, then that's considered to be your ketzira, the normal way in which you're ketzira. You may hire itinerant pickers or whatever, but that is your modality of ketzira. But over here, basically, now it doesn't matter whether they did this because they're friendly with him and they want to do him a favor, or whether they did it because they're ganovim, which is in that later case. But the point is that they weren't working for him when they did this. And therefore, it's not a bekutzrechem, and there is no chiyav subsequently, even, of making sure that the aniyim get it. Even if this guy did it for him and left everything there, he's not chayav to leave peah any longer. So it wouldn't be even a getter of zochin li'adam shalom b'fanav. There's the normal Gavi rule is, ein shlichut la'akum, and therefore he can't be seen as your shliach. He could only be seen as your ketzira, as a field worker. But that wasn't the case over here. How about if the leased him, who were planning on stealing the whole field, they came and they harvested, and then maybe the cops came and they dropped everything and they ran, and now you have everything that they were located. Wouldn't make any difference because there was no bekutzrechem, and you wouldn't even be chayev to leave it afterwards for the aniyim, even though you have it all. How about if ants attacked the field? Now, there are ants that don't go to the trouble of getting up to the wheat, what they do is, these harvesting ants, is they harvest. And they actually cut down the grain from the ground level. They chew through the actual straw itself. The grain, the whole thing falls to the ground. And they did you a grand katsira. Well, that's not called b'kutz rechem. And if you come along and you spray the ants before they eat up the grain, you do not have to leave it to the aniyim. How about if a windstorm comes along and uproots everything? Shavarta ruach, knocks down, flattens the field. Or maybe some behemoth came through and flattened the field. In all of these cases, you are putter even afterwards, even if you have all of that grain. Now, how about if you started doing the katsira? So you were katsar chetzia, and then these guys came in with guns and started shooting, chased you away, and they cut the rest of it, and let's say from midpoint till the end, whatever it was, what they did, whether they got away with it, whether they got away with it all, whether they didn't get away with it, and they had to run and leave it, it doesn't matter. He's going to be putter because the chovat hapeah kicks in at the koma. So basically, what it was that you started doing, the ikar din of the peah is you can't go all the way to the end of your field. And if you did that to the end, so then you have a chiyuv to actually take it. If you didn't take it from the kama, then you have to now take it even from the processed grain. But over here, there's no chiyuv of peah whatsoever, not only from the second part, which is obviously potter because there was no b'kutz rechem, it was the robbers that did that, but because the main chiyuv of the peah is when you get to the end of the field. So when you did your original chetzi soda, you left your peah. That peah was still left at the end of the field. And there was no chiyuv of you needing to make up for it because of the mitzvah of lani v'lager. So this is a standard peah, and you left plenty for it. Now come along these listim, and they cut it down before you could actually say this is the peah. There isn't any kama, and there wasn't any chiyuv at the time. Now, if you yourself had cut down the rest of it, yes, then of course that would have been your peah. But because, even if you'd cut it all down, then we would have the chiyuv of the assay to leave it for la'ani v'lager. But in our case, the guy didn't do anything wrong. Instead, other people came and they stole the peah, basically. So I didn't do anything. And the only issue of the mitzvah assay is to be mitakein where I was over. I wasn't over anything. I was just doing my normal work, left tons of grain at the end to take peah from. So why would this mitzvah aseh come to be mitakein, the lota aseh that I did? I didn't do any lota aseh. And therefore, this is a very subtle but important thing to understand. What the Mishnah is saying is, the mitzvah of la'ani v'lager is not to be mitakein, the peah that wasn't given. It's to be mitakein the iser that you did in not giving the peah. And since in this case there was no iser that you did, there's no mitzvah asay because this is a lav hanitak la'asay. Therefore, if there's no lav, there's no asay. So even though you would think la'ani v'lager would kick in at this time, it does not. Now, how about if katsar chetzia, katsar chetzia umachar chetzia. Now, how about you started doing it, and then you sold the rest of the harvest, or you gave away to Hegdash the rest of the harvest? So let's take a look at what happens if you sold it. So if you sold it, then in that case, it means that the person who bought it, he was going to, initially, this guy was mechuyev to give his peah from the end. He started doing it himself. And before he actually took off the peah, he sold it. So then that means that the leftover standing grain that he sold to this other guy before it was harvested, he sold it to him to harvest, was already chayev in the peah from the beginning part of the field. And the buyer knows that that is absolutely the case, and he still agreed to buy it at whatever price he agreed to buy it. So therefore, he essentially has to take off the payah for that half, in even for that half, in the second half, because he understands that the guy wasn't going to sell me the payah. He expected me to leave the payah. He's already mischayev in the payah in the first half, and he's not leaving anything in the field. He's selling it to me. So he takes for granted that I, as buyer, not only will have to take off the payah in the part of the field that I harvested, but that I am the one that was left with the chiyuv of payah on this field. And therefore, it's included in the price. And we don't say, the guy can't come along and say, oh, I didn't realize I was going to have to leave the payah. We have to take that off of the price. No. The same thing is true if he was kotzer chetzia and he was higdish chetzia. He gave half of it to the Beis HaMikdash. That means the part that he gave to the Beis HaMikdash actually was including payah on the whole field. So the gizbar, he's looking for somebody to buy it off of Hegdash. He doesn't go and do the ketira himself. So because of that, the guy who is payda from Hegdash is essentially the guy who was payda, so to speak, by buying. The buyer in the first case is the payda in this case. And therefore, the payda miyad hagizbar is the equivalent of the kone. And the poda miyad hagizbar is the lokeach. And just like in the ratio, the lokeach was nice and pay alakol, so to hapodeh miyad hagizbar, hu hanotein pe'ah lakol. Wow. This would have been a beautiful, richy moment. And look at this. What people can lose out without even realizing. Anyway, what do you say? Hadron Allah, we have actually Elu Mafsikim, and Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow we start talking about Malbinot HaTfu'ah.